Always good to chat with Steve on a Friday. Welcome, Steve-o.
Half welcome back. Good to see Rama again and Whitey as well, who's got the hair slicked back today, which
he's
is magnificent.
Very sharp, very sharp.
You reckon Whitey's ever been to a fancy dress party? Just
not dressed as Aladdin.
Certainly not as Aladdin.
No. Fancy dress party.
Here we go.
If fancy dress is on the invitation, I'm not going.
Why is that?
No interest.
Too much fun.
Why not?
Just not something I'd like to participate in.
What if it was
come as
your favourite sports hero sort of fancy dress
well,
activity?
Well, that's borderline. I'd be tempted, but nah.
No. Who would you go as?
Jermaine Defoe?
I don't know, something pretty easy so I don't have to sort of look too stupid, but no, nothing, not for me. Fancy dress. Well, I just find that just very frustrating.
Oh, the old fun police.
Antics.
Concerned that Trent drove, though, in the fancy dress, surely you get a cab. You don't drive to a fancy dress party.
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
Strange and concerning. And he said he had other costumes as well, and I said, end the story there. We all know what happened in King Street last week.
Yes, dangerous to be the joker these days. It seems Steve-O's with us in studio.
Fancy dress options.
He's digging for info. Thanks to Dale Before You Dig, the essential first step in any excavation. He's not digging in the closet of Trent Langscale, which is probably a good place not to be, I reckon. Steve-O, what's happening in the world of footy?
Well, a big story is James Hurd, and it sort of came from left field last night that would be presenting the Norm Smith medal this year. I know for a fact that Hurdy's more than happy to do that. He's holidaying in Europe at the moment. My take on it is, and when you read the fine print of this story, is it's his turn.
Which is something I didn't know anything
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. We never really cottoned on to this, did we? The fact that McLeod did it, then Shannon Grant did it, and now is the 2000 winner, James Hurd. It's created a storm on Twitter. My take on it is it's Hurdy's turn.
Yep.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, and I'm quite happy seeing Hurdy won the Norm Smith that year for him to hand it over. If Hurdy had been picked out of a basket of 50 other applicants for this year, maybe different.
Yep.
But it's Hurdy's turn. So let's just celebrate the situation.
I agree with that. The only danger, upon coming across this story last night, the only danger is that you don't want that moment on grand final day to be soiled with a distasteful reaction and response. Now, I don't know how you go into that situation with any certainty that it won't happen or that it will happen. Is that a dice that the AFL would be prepared to roll without perhaps welcoming back beforehand, like giving a bit of a tester, giving the audience a bit of a tester of Hurdy back in the fold? Or do you bring him in cold?
Cold. I think because of the play that's announced as a Norm Smith medalist, that's who's celebrated. They just say, and James Hurd's presenting it.
But also, he's just won a premiership.
Yeah. That's...
And if your team's just won a flag. I don't think you're in the mood for booing anybody.
Nah, exactly. That's supporters.
You're cheering hard.
Yeah.
Well, the supporters of the winning team, they wouldn't give a rat.
The losing team. They're gone.
But you often, as we know, grand final, there's not many supporters of either team there. No. It's all a different audience. Yeah, it's a corporate audience. Adam, you've been very standoffish over there.
No, I don't want the day to be spoiled. And whether that be for James Hurd or whether it be for anybody, there still seems to be a lot of fire and a lot of anger from people over what has happened.
Is it too soon for you, Adam?
Well, not for me personally, but I think if it becomes a major story and a distraction, then I think there needs to be more time, potentially. But I don't think it can be a situation. How long do you want to punish him for?
I think that's a separate discussion. We might have to have that shortly, but I think it's a separate discussion to this one because he's done his time. Like the players who have done their time and have served their penalty and are back in the fold and have been embraced by everyone in the footy community, I don't see why James Hurd should be any different to that, just on that point. But to come in cold with that hesitation, you brought it up that you don't want it to be spoiled. I mean, it is a danger of it happening.
Yeah, but there's no doubt that the AFL have released this now to take the heat out of it.
Yes, and as I said, Rama, I think that if he can be confident, and even James himself can be confident that the moment's not going to be about him, because it has to be about the Norman Smith medal. It's not about the bloke that's putting the
he's putting a medal around
neck.
Somebody's
I agree
neck.
With
that's
you.
All he's doing.
It's very quick.
He's not talking.
No,
not
I agree with you.
And,
no.
He gives us a bit of
shake his hand, put the medal around his neck, and then he goes off into the
And I think the fact you've got one group of fans having the best day of their life, the other group of fans have left, and you've got a few Chardonnay people that have probably had too many Chardies to care anyway. So I just don't think it would be maybe at a home and away game. At Eddie had it could get ugly if he was handing over a medal there. But I think the time's okay. But I'm surprised at the Twitter reaction. When I heard that he was doing it...
Were you really surprised?
A little bit. I think it's pretty strong. When I heard that he was doing it, I was surprised as well. But once you read the reasoning, well, it would be just as big a story if they did overlook him.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes. That is true. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Line was absolutely spot on. Because until we learned that there was a sequential order to the presentation of the
AFL's Smith. Got these funny little things that they do that they sort of bring them out when it suits.
Yeah, and Rammer's point's right.
But Gary Ablett hasn't handed over a Norm Smith.
I think he
may have declined.
Declined the invitation.
Okay. So that's I haven't got a problem at all with the way it's going.
And that's the opportunity for the opportunity was there for James to decline the invitation. But it seems that the story today and what you're saying before, Steve, that he'd be more than happy
and
too.
And in very good spirits at the moment.
And make no mistake, Hurdy loves football and the traditions that go with it. So I think it's fantastic that he's going to present the medal and just get on with it. Get on with it. Celebrate the guy that wins. Mm. Don't worry about who's presenting it.
Yeah, but that's easy to say from your perspective, but put yourself in the general footy populace mindset. That's the difference. You're a balanced, rational individual, and we like you, Adam. You think you're fantastic. Sometimes when the emotions are stirring and there's grand final day and you've got things on the line, perhaps we don't see things as rationally.
Once the game is over, what's on the line?
You might have lost.
They're gone. They're gone.
They want to see...
They're gone, skis. You got supporters in the crowd chanting Cyril a couple of years ago. They're not worrying about who presenting the medal to him.
Let's relieve that moment for a little while, if you don't mind. Cyril, how good was he?
Wonder what happens tonight. Two boys, Jake Carlisle. Do you think he'll be booed?
We spoke to Brendan Goddard about this yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, he'll cop it. Yeah.
He'll cop it.
I think he'll cop it worse than Paddy Ryder did.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon he will. Yeah.
I reckon there'll be an initial sort of boo.
I think he will because he... When he finished that season off, there was a few incidents that had happened with Jake coming off the ground a number of times and venting frustration. And I think some of the language that he's used in the past too hasn't been that well received by people at Essendon.
Yeah, no, he will cop it from his former teammates and he'll cop it from the crowd. And that'll be a part of the
interesting
part of the
side
night.
Story.
Part of the theater.
Friday night story.
Well, the story is, I think, is Joe Danaher and Jake Carlisle. That matchup could almost decide the game tonight.
Well, we know the love for Joe Danaher in this room.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
From all and sundry. So it's going to be a big job for anyone who gets the job. BJ spoke about this yesterday, that Jake normally gets the higher... forward, the leading forward, as opposed to Mitch Brown, who gets the Nathan Brown gets the
deeper,
the other
which
one,
is
the
deep forward, Ben Hooker, Kale Hooker. Yeah.
The other interesting thing about tonight, Job Watson rested.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up.
Look, this is virtually a final for Essendon.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Have you got any info at all?
No, I don't have any info. More that he's a bit sore and a bit tired, and they're resting him.
3 6-day breaks.
Yeah, it's tough.
Etihad Stadium, fast decks, and St Kilda played fast.
Saw the way they played last week, St Kilda. It was so fast that you can't carry anybody that's sort of 80% or maybe a little bit off the pace.
What I was surprised is who they brought in for Joe Watson.
Craig Bird.
Craig Bird.
Yeah, well, he's just been dominating the VFL.
He has, but I think they needed a bit more speed in that team tonight through their midfield.
I think he'll come in and play on Jack Stephen.
No doubt. He's going to come in and tag. I think he'll come in and play on Seb Ross, personally.
You reckon?
He's not quick enough for Jack Stephen.
Hmm. Well, Seb Ross is bordering on the key to the Saints these days, isn't he? Right. We know Jack Stephen's a fantastic player, has been for some time, and he's one of the partner in crime. He's got it, as David King
says
today.
I think you might find Darcy Parrish may spend a little bit of time on Jack Stephen because of the pace factor.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what you say about Seb Ross, because what he usually does is play on the best player in the opposition.
He might try to go to Zach Merritt, for example.
Exactly, and then they're sort of accountable for each other at a stoppage, and then away they go and go in their separate directions at times.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether anyone does it better than Seb Ross. Yeah. David King brought up some really good points on 360 with the way he played Dustin Martin on Wednesday night, so it'll be interesting to see.
We'll get to a break. 7:18. That's the Bombers activity out of the way.
I'll talk about Brad Scott after the break.
Well, there's an SMS here that's been sitting there since early this morning, which I've saved from Paul and Kyabram, who I'm sure is still listening. We'll get to that in a second, Paul, and find out what Steve-O knows on your SMS. The other situation with Brad Scott, of course, Rocket E was talking yesterday about his future up there at the Gold Coast Suns. Daniel Wells has rushed back into the Collingwood team, and the D's are in Darwin. We'll find out what Steve-O knows all about that after the break on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927.
Victoria's own Breakfast Club.
7:21 on The Breakfast Club. Mark Stevens is with us. He's been digging for info for us for Dial Before You Dig. He's got a little nugget for us too later on. Stick around for that. Brent Harvey not too far away on the Friday footy preview. A couple of SMSs come through very recently as well. We'll get to them shortly. But Damon's in Williamstown. He wants to talk about the James Heard situation for the Norm Smith Medal presentation at this year's grand final. G'day, Damo.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, thank you.
Look, I don't have a problem with James presenting it at all. If the AFL were prepared to offer the weapon a lifeline and say that he's permitted to be employed back in the AFL, I certainly don't see a problem with James being welcomed back. I mean, people forget, I'm sure Paul Little will never present a Norm Smith medal, and he, you know, James is just badly advised as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. Well, I don't disagree with much of that, Damo. I think he's, as Whitey said before, he's done his time. The players have been welcomed back. Why wouldn't James Heard be welcomed back as part of that program as well? And particularly given it's an order, a systemic situation with the AFL. It's not just a name plucked out of anywhere. This is part of the program that they use for presentations of the Norm Smith Medal.
Yeah, and I think the thing here is that he's being asked to present a medal of which he won. And it is an order, as Steve-O said. It's not like he's being asked to coach a team that's playing in the grand final or coach an AFL club again. This is just something where he's a Norm Smith medalist. He's being asked to present a Norm Smith medal.
Thank you, Damo, for your call off the SMS. Come on, boys. We all know Job was flat out dropped. Any truth to that, Rama?
No, he's been going well.
No, just checking.
Yes. His last 3 or 4 weeks.
That's what Glenn said off the SMS?
No.
Tell me about the Brad Scott situation.
It's interesting, just as a long-term media person, I like to sit back and read press conferences, answers and questions.
Yes.
Let's have a listen to Sean Salby, Seven News' own. He asked a pretty hard question of Brad Scott down at Arden Street yesterday.
Can you 100% just rule it out so people know that that's not going to happen?
Yeah, I've said on so many occasions that I'm fully committed to North Melbourne, so while that's where they want me to be, that's where I'll be.
So you didn't quite answer that fully. The way that I'm reading that, he's saying that it could be a mutual thing. If North still want me, I could still be here. He answered it cleverly, but he could have said, look, I just want to confirm to you guys, let's put it to bed now. I'm 100% committed to North Melbourne. I don't want to be anywhere else. And at this stage, I don't believe I will be anywhere else. I love this club and you can rule me out now. So he hasn't done that. He answered it cleverly, but he just hasn't taken that next step. And I think the door clearly is still open. It may be a win-win for North Melbourne and for Brad Scott, a long-term deal somewhere else. And North Melbourne can say, well, Brad's given us everything. Maybe it's time that we regenerate as well.
There is certainly provision, if you want to read between the lines, to take that stance, I reckon, Steve-O, because he hasn't categorically come out and said, I'll be coaching the Kangaroos next year. Had he said that, I think most of this discussion goes to bed. But until that time, as we know in footy, because it's a funny world we live in the world of footy, his phrasing's been very acute if you want to play that angle of the conversation.
Oh, look, he's playing it extremely cleverly because what he's doing is he's putting pressure back on the football club because he's saying, if you want me, I'm happy to coach you for as long as you like. So to me, I read that as we get to the end of the year and we sit down and we work out a contract extension if you really want me, or otherwise I'll look at my options, even though I've got a year to go on my contract. Because the way he could have clearly answered it, as Steve-O suggested, is he could have just said, I'm contracted to coach North Melbourne in 2018. What's the point of having this discussion?
Well, we'll have to go back then and look at every interview that he's done this year to talk about that. Because I think you'll find in previous interviews, Brad has said that he's contracted next year.
Yeah, but he is just...
It's getting to the pointy end now.
He's just leaving that little thing open in sort of putting it. I think he's putting pressure on North Melbourne with how he's saying it.
And Ramo, your management company deals with
we do.
Brad Scott.
We manage Brad, yes, we do.
And that, but that's okay for Brad to do what he's doing. I, as I said, I think he's
what's your take, Rammer, on where Scott's at?
My take is that he'll coach North Melbourne next year.
That's good. Good from you. Mm. We haven't heard that from Brad just yet, but we've heard it from you as part of the management consultancy business that is the conglomerate these days of who are you these days? What are you? Ned, TLA, Buddy, Kelly Gang.
There's a coaching merry-go-round. I mean, Johnny Barker, his name came up about a month ago. It keeps surfacing at the Gold Coast.
What I do think is that with the Level 4 program that's been produced by the AFL, there's some very good young coaches now starting to come through the ranks. And hopefully those guys in the coming years will get their opportunity because that's what the AFL want. They want to have well-prepared senior coach or assistant coaches transition into head coaches.
So you have to be almost in that group of level four to be the next?
Yep.
Is that correct?
No, but
that,
I don't think that's right. Out of it. But that's not right because
the AFL shouldn't have a say on who's the next
coach. No, they don't.
But in the Brisbane situation, there was three or four level four coaches that went for it and none of them got it.
So that was refreshing.
Yeah, I don't think there should be necessarily have to have the level four qualification.
I think Chris Fagan's had enough experience in football to require a level four. Mm. I think these guys that are currently doing the level four the last couple of years, they require that to be a senior coach.
And I don't deny that either, but the fact was that at Brisbane, the final three were Chris Fagan, John Barker and Brett Montgomery. Montgomery and Barker had done the level four.
Yep.
Chris Fagan had the experience, had come from, when we say experience, it was just time in the game.
Chris Fagan could run the level four program.
Yeah.
If he wanted to.
The other name that doesn't come up a lot, and I've got good sources at St Kilda, so this guy's a genius.
Oh, I like this.
Adam Kingsley.
Yeah, he's getting some love, Adam.
Apparently, I think it was the Adelaide job, he was line ball, almost got Adam Kingsley coming with a bullet. He'll be the type of guy that'll just come from left field.
Whatever job becomes available, I think you'll find Adam Kingsley will be at the top of those lists.
Do you reckon there'll be more than one become available, Steve-O? Or how many do you reckon there might become available, considering the current climate? One to two?
Or
why
three.
Do you got to...
North Melbourne, I think, may become available because that'll be part of the shuffle.
I think there could be a reshuffle, but that might not necessarily mean there'll be too many new coaches coaching. There could be a few coaching at other clubs.
I think a little bit of swap, sort of swap action. A
bit of musical chairs type
of
action.
In the schoolyard, I'll swap you my card for your card.
So, Remmer, is Adam Kingsley a TLA man as well?
Yes.
But I think this male's spot on that he is just good.
We've heard that. We actually discussed that with.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Adam Kingsley is right up there, but again, he's untried. So I think, and the one that's coming through with a bullet as the one of the ones that will be really sought after as an assistant coach is Dean Solomon, and he's doing the level four coaching this year. And he's out of contract at the Suns at the end of the year, and there are a lot of clubs inquiring about him.
Mm. Right, the coaching merry-go-round will ramp up at the season's end. Daniel Wells,
Collingwood's interesting.
Up.
Well, straight back into the side after the calf.
Bucks were told he was going to be playing VFL?
A week or two, and Collingwood now really can't make finals. Would it be best to play a kid at the moment? I mean, they've brought back in Wellsy.
Daniel Wells for another two years. Mm.
Yep. Why rush him then into this game?
Well, what's the risk?
Well, what if he rips a calf again?
Well, he doesn't play for the rest of the year.
I think it's a mindset of Bucks as well. He said during the week, look, we're going out to pick the best team. The mantra of the match committee is to pick the best team to win games.
Well, and I think he has to do that. He has, in his situation particularly, he has to do that. Mm. He's got to be winning as many games as possible. Yeah. He's not in a position now where he can start to blood kids and look at the future. I'm not sure that's his go at the moment.
Maybe that's his best sell to keep his job, is to show these kids and say, look, we're building now.
Not after 6 years.
Yeah.
Not after 6 years in the situation they found themselves in, the Magpies. I'm not surprised, although the only thing I am surprised about is they said that they'd probably come back through the VFL.
Yeah, and Mason Cox dropped again, Rammers, mate. I mean, he can't get a clear run at it. And he's leading to good spots. He's probably not being serviced, if you like, by a lot of the ball coming forward. He needs some continuity. You bring him in and out, that's pretty tough.
Talking about the versatility of Trent Langscale, he's currently on the Today Show. what I wanted to just say is if Nathan Buckley wasn't coaching Collingwood this weekend, just say that that he wasn't coaching, he decided, he put his hand, I'm not going to be there, and Scott Burns was doing it.
Yep.
Would selection be different this weekend? Would they play the youngsters?
Would be, well, yes. History suggests it would be, because if you look at any caretaker coach that's come into the fold, they have changed things up from a selection.
So what's the responsibility for Nathan Buckley over the last 7 weeks? What's best for Nathan Buckley or what's best for Collingwood?
Well, I think that comes down to a conversation that would have been had by him and the football department, yeah. Probably the board as well, what they expect from the team for the next 7 weeks.
I think Collingwood expect to win.
That's my inkling,
that's
too.
That they want to win. Collingwood's
I'm not, it's not a leading question. I'm just asking it because, you know, there was because Collingwood's VFL team did pretty well on the weekend and they're going okay. A few of the youngsters are playing quite well. But when you see the players that have come back, and Nathan Buckley's been talking about selection integrity, and a lot of that is, you know, you've got to earn your spot. We're not going to play you just because you're young and exciting. You've got to have runs on the board. But they've certainly gone back to experience. You know, Jared Blair back in the team as well. I thought it was interesting, the selection this weekend.
Broomhead, Smith and Cox out for Blair, Howe and Moore. Daniel Wells comes in for Levi Greenwood, who's suspended. Steve-O, what do you got for us on Boyd's Achilles?
Yeah, a little bit sore, pulled up again. Bit of a concern, obviously, when you get to that stage half. Hopefully he can get back in, but he's sore. Tom Boyd not back in the VFL, so longer time there. Travis Cloak, still in the VFL. So I thought he may have come in, but the Bulldogs picked a young fella called Young, which is a debutant, I think the youngest player taken in the draft.
Lewis Young.
A lot of talk about Josh Battle, but this guy's actually younger than the student
Young's
from
Halebury.
A young playing for the Bulldogs this week.
That's right. And Melbourne up in Darwin?
Yes.
Good money, but probably the biggest game Melbourne's had in, what, almost 10 years half. And they're playing it in Darwin.
Yeah, but they're capable.
It's a gamble.
They're capable of doing that. I mean, the only rider on this is that Adelaide are a pretty good team. Yeah. So, I mean, had this been at the MCG or Etihad Stadium, you'd back them in. But it does add another layer of intrigue at TIO Stadium. But we spoke to Maxi Gorn yesterday, and they've altered the way they've prepared for these Darwin trips. They used to go up and acclimatise and train in heat chambers.
What, they used to actually deal with the community and promote football in Darwin.
Well, no, we didn't get to that point.
We're just talking
about a more... More
he's hit and run now.
Well,
in and out.
4 points is very important, Steve, as you've highlighted.
But if you're going to take the money, and I love Melbourne footy, if you're going to take the money, you've also got to put back into the local community.
Well, you just work with the deal you've got. Might not.
They went there yesterday. There's
a elaborate.
That's a scheduling
they left late
conversation.
Yesterday.
Bring that up with the AFL.
They used to spend a week up there doing clinics, and they get beaten by 15 goals.
I want you to give us your nugget. You've been digging for info. For Dial Before You Dig, visit 1100.com.au for all the info on this essential free service for anyone digging around buried pipes and cables. What have you been digging for us this week?
Out at the kennel after the loss.
Oh,
last
the Bulldogs
week.
Again.
Luke Beveridge, the nice guy, went as hard and he was absolutely filthy. Ripped in personally to several players. The worst sprays he has done in his time at the kennel. And also Leon Cameron up at the GWS. They turned school principal this week. One-on-one meetings. Come in and see the principal. What's going wrong? We need to turn this around,
Step
boys.
Into my office.
Step into my office. Crisis time at the Giants.
It's not a bad spot to be if you've got a crisis for the GWS Giants.
We're not
traveling
too
table.
Well, huh?
Well, sitting second on the table. They've lost. Haven't lost a game for a while. Oh, two draws.
They've been lucky, really, with a lot of the close ones.
They've got no players.
Yep.
And they're second.
Yeah.
It's not exactly crisis, I wouldn't have thought.